You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Perhaps the gremlins have something to do with that Vodacom deal not going through. It is a 13 billion rand deal after all. But we're going to be looking at the interesting relationship between some metals, because the commodities conversations are clearly in focus. As you heard earlier with my conversation with Simon Brown, there's a lot of interest in the commodities market, depending on which commodities you're looking at. But there's always been a very interesting relationship that we're going to dig into a little bit more now. I'm joined on the line by the director for mining at the Modern Corporate company called Modern Corporate Solutions, Peter Major, to take a look at the relationship between gold and silver. Good evening, Peter. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's a very interesting relationship that dates back to probably before I was even born. It's decades old. But why have these two metals in particular always been closely linked?
Look, to be honest, there's a very tenuous relationship, because in different periods of time, there was a national government that said, we will give you so much money for silver and we'll give you 16 times as much money for gold. And that was the United States from 1792 until about 1882. You know, for roughly 90 years, silver and gold were supposed to trade at the same price, at the same ratio, 16 to 1. But then the Americans discovered this rich Comstock lode in about 1860, just about the time of the Civil War. And there was so much silver coming out that people were taking silver and buying gold with it. And the U.S. thought, geez, if the world's going to get flooded with silver, they're going to buy all the gold. And it was draining gold from the central bank. And so in 1873, the government said, we're not going to exchange it at a 16 to 1 ratio. We're going to let silver find its own level. And that's pretty much what's happened since 1873. It's found its own level. And usually the level was a lot worse than 16 to 1. It was 20 to 1, and then 30 to 1, and then 40 to 1. And then the gold price was controlled for a while. So from 1934 until about 1974, for roughly 40 years, the gold price stayed at $35 an ounce. But the silver, it went up with inflation like a lot of the other metals. And so all of a sudden, gold was looking very cheap again, and foreigners were using silver to buy gold. And then President Nixon said, hey, we're not going to support the gold price. So literally since 1972-73, all metals have traded freely. But lots of people like to say, well, there should be a link. Now, I'm an engineer, so if you say, what would an engineer calculate? I would say, well, there's 100 million ounces of year gold being produced out of the mines. And there's about 850 million ounces of silver being produced out of the mines. So that tells me on a yearly basis, the ratio should maybe be 8.5 to 1. I'm sure everybody who has silver would love to hear that. But it's a nebulous argument. But if you just go on how much is produced every year, yes, there's 8.5 times more silver being produced than gold. And yet today's price is 80 to 1. So that does seem like a very big gap between what's being produced. 80 to 1.
Peter, when we think about this relationship, it's a very interesting relationship because both metals kind of are very in-demand metals in the world. It's not as though one doesn't have any use or one is purely a store of value. Both go into jewelry, both go into manufacturing, both go into various use cases. And I guess the conversation then is around the correlation between the two. We've seen often that when we look at things like gold valuations, if something is a 24-carat gold or an 18-carat or 9-carat, there are other components that go into that. And now you're seeing the rise of metals like copper and other sorts of things that come into these conversations. What does this mean for the future of gold and silver? Are they going to continue to have such a close relationship, or do you see it kind of drifting further and further apart as the world develops?
No, I think they will get closer together. Because gold is valued so highly, even if you have a gold coin, even in America, 2,700 and $50. Well, if you just want to go to the supermarket, it's going to be hard to get change for $2,750. Whereas if you have a silver coin, it's worth $34. So you can buy quite a few groceries and put four or five silver coins on the table, and that's enough. So, and a lot of countries are using silver more and more for money. And the Americans, funny enough, a third of the silver produced by the world goes into investments in America, in other words, something like 300 million ounces a year goes into investment in America. So America's, and they're taking it in silver bars. So the Americans are definitely treating it like a currency. The Indians, that are rumored to have over 2 billion ounces stockpiled, they treat it as a real savings vehicle. So I think silver has much more uses of money than any other metal except probably gold. But if you want to go into scarcity value, you could say, well, gee, platinum on a production side, the world only produces 6 to 7 million ounces a year of platinum, and they produce 100 million ounces of gold. So, gee, does that mean platinum should be, what's 100 divided by 6? You know, 15 to 17. You know, maybe platinum should be 17 times more valuable than gold because it's not being produced very much. And palladium's probably the same ratio. You know, the world probably produces 6-7 million ounces a year of palladium. We did see a big jump in all precious metals this week. We've seen palladium go from below almost $1,000 to $1,250. We've seen platinum go from below $1,000 to, let's see here, $10,050. So it hasn't moved so much. But yeah, most precious metals, they kind of move in tandem, but there's gaps between them. Like if we say, what's gold done relative to silver the last 10 years? Well, it's gotten up to 110 times the silver price, and it's fallen as low as 35, 40 times the silver price. So they call that arbitraging. If you see the gold price get above 80 or 90, you say, gee, I know it's going to return to some kind of mean, so I'm going to sell gold and buy silver with it. And then if gold falls down to maybe 70-1 ratio or 66-1, you say, the odds are it's going to go back up, so I'm going to reverse. I'm going to sell my silver and buy gold with it. But that's for somebody that sits at a screen all the time and reads tea leaves and checks, is it a full moon or a half moon? There is no mechanistic, regular formula to what these metals should trade at.
Peter, how do we then determine what is too cheap or too undervalued? I mean, you alluded to the fact that the ratio should be closer to 8-1 based on production, and that's a sound measurement metric.
Yes.
I suppose it's a very logical way to approach it from an engineer, but we know that markets often operate in a very illogical fashion. How do we then justify that silver is still so cheap, or that gold is so expensive, or that some metals are priced at what they're priced at? How do we know what we're dealing with here?
It's very much on personal or perceived demand or lack of demand. And I think we can learn something from diamonds. Man can now produce perfect diamonds that only a real expert can tell the difference between them. They're just as hard. They're even more pure, more clear, and we can produce larger and larger sizes. So now we're producing real wedding ring size and grade diamonds. And the production cost of those diamonds is somewhere between 5 and 10% of the production cost of a real diamond that's unearthed that might have even a defect or two in it. So you say, okay, why hasn't the price of the earthbound, the ones dug out of the earth, why hasn't the price of those diamonds utterly collapsed? And hey, it might be going there. I see diamonds on average are selling at $83 a carat now, rough. And a couple of years ago, they were selling at $115. So these are pretty low prices. I've seen $83, $85 for rough, I swear, 10, 20 years ago. So that shows diamonds haven't come up in 20 years. At least the silver price has come up in 20 years, and we all know the gold price has. So it's perception. Perception turns into reality. So if people perceive that a expensive diamond was dug out of the ground, whether it's 1 carat, 2 carats, or 3 carats, if they perceive that makes it more genuine or more rare than one made in a high-pressure steel canister, but then how much are they willing to pay for that one as to one that looks almost the same and weighs the same and costs 5 or 10%? I don't have the answers for this. It's scary. If you're a producer, it's scary because you might be making a lot of money today. You might be going broke tomorrow. Or you may be going broke today based on what you're producing, and you throw in the towel, sell your machines, close shop, and then you find out it reverts to a much higher level tomorrow, and then you kick yourself. So reversion to the mean is always a good place to start. You don't have to stay there, but just statistically, that's how businesses are run nowadays, especially in the States. Everything's based on statistics. So if you say the average price of the last 10 years of silver gold is 80 to 1, maybe it's going to revert closer to the 50-year average that was 66 to 1. So, but is it going to revert there overnight? Is it going to revert there and stay there? Is it going to revert there over a period of years? You don't know. It's risky. It's risky, especially taking borrowed money or hard-saved money and just saying, I'm going to go on this side of the curve. Because if you're wrong, you could lose it, or you could just have it frozen for a long time. But I wish I could give you a more logical explanation of these metals. But industrial demand and personal bias has a lot to do with it. But those are nebulous factors. They're hard to get a handle on.
Certainly some interesting things to think about, especially when we look at the relationship between these metals and between generally anything that trades around the world. Thank you so much, Peter, for those insights. Peter Major, Director for Mining at Modern Corporate Solutions, joining us to unpack the relationship between gold and silver and understand the gold-silver ratio.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.